If you'd like to follow along, this morning's scripture reading will be coming from 1 Corinthians chapters 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Now I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
Good morning. It is a beautiful day today, isn't it? Inside and out. Last Sunday was the 2-year mark of the day that we lost Natalie. And at the end of that very long day, Beth and I went to the daycare and picked up a 2-year-old little girl and brought her home. And y'all have gotten to watch that little girl go from not being able to walk to walking on her own, being pretty quick. Some of y'all have lost food or ice to her hands, and she doesn't mind stealing candy from babies. No qualms at all about it. And she has done so very well, in a large part because she has so many people who love her and have been helping out along the way to help her grow. Our oldest son and his wife, Colby and Tiffany, we've had conversations through these last couple of years where they've talked about adopting her. In fact, we are convinced that Tiffany would have picked her up at the end of that week after the service and taken her home and figured it out on the way on what it would be. But they have now come to the point where they've said, we want to do this. So, excuse me, Cambry will be moving to College Station after school is out the last week of May. And it's going to be hard, and it's going to be wonderful. But I know that you all have been such a big part of her that wanted y'all to know, 8 weeks. Lunch today may be one of the last times she'll get to try to steal something from your plate. But as we get close, we've already started the process and talking to lawyers to get all the little pieces put into place. She's already got her own room in their house. If you want to see a picture of the bed in that room, she will have a big brother to aggravate her, which all children need is somebody to aggravate them at home. And we will be back to just being Lolly and Pop. And it just means it's going to be a little bit more of a drive to get to go see her. But I want to say over and over how grateful we are for all that y'all have done for us and for her in this long stretch. Would you all pray with me, please? Father, we come to you knowing that you continue to be with us in every circumstance, everything that goes on in this world, that we know you are there. us the strength to make it through a day that's hard, and helping us, Father, along the way. But Father, we know that in a big measure of that help that you've given us is that you've given us people who love us, who hold us up and walk with us. We're thankful for that. And so, Father, we ask that you will be with Colby and Tiffany, with Cambry, with Tristan, as this transition goes on. Father, you know how it will be hard, and you know how it will be good. But we ask that you always help us to trust you and to look to you and to hold on to each other each moment of every day. First, through Jesus, we pray. Amen. Maybe I should have said this to y'all last week, because now we're in 1 Corinthians 15 and we get to start talking about something that's difficult. Now, the thing about every day of the year is there are days in each year that we remember. Of course, March 22nd, I've already referenced. It will be a day I will always remember. April 9th is coming up. That's the day that Beth and I will celebrate 44 years of being married. My mom's birthday comes up the 25th of April. My brother, who passed away, I have to do math. Sorry, I shouldn't do math in my head. More than 15 years ago, his birthday was April 11th. But you see how we have those days that we remember certain events, certain things, where we remember your birthday because we are so very glad that you are here and we celebrate you. We celebrate our anniversaries because it's like that was a day that changed us dramatically. But part of every day that we go on in this world is not just remembering what was. The truth is, every year, I land on a day that in the future will be the day that I'll take my last breath. I don't know what day it is, but there will be one day that will be my last to wake up. It'll be my last to do whatever goes on. And every year, I get a little bit closer to the fulfillment of that day. Now, we look at that and we think, now, why in the world do we want to just worry, even think about death? But that's just part of what goes on in this life for every one of us. The thing about death is, in a lot of ways, it helps us to focus a little more clearly on what matters. Because if we realize, I've only got so long in this world, what do I want to do with the time I have left? What is most important? And I think for just about everybody in the world, we start thinking about the people we love, who love us, about what we want to leave behind when we're gone, and the difference we want to make in this moment. And when we get into 1 Corinthians 15, we've got to talk about that some. Now, he starts out with something that we would say, that is why we're here. That is why we believe. First, from the reading, first verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. It says, this is where we began. This is where we take our stand. In fact, down in verse 11, he says, whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach and this is what you believed. A change happened in every one of us. He says there's something that changes in this moment to change how we look at life, to change changes how we look at death, to changes everything about what goes on. He says this message changes us. In fact, he says in his own life, he looks at himself, he says, you know, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. His just not just that what he got in the message and the gospel was the grace of God, but that now in this moment, by God's grace, he is able to go out and tell people what he wants to tell everyone. This good news. Now, he summarizes that so very well for us, because he reminds us what the good news is. What is it that is at the center, at the core, at the foundation of everything that we're about? And he says this, what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. In other words, he says, what I tell you, what I pass along to you, is what I was told myself. And I want to share that with you. I want you to know Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. He summarizes this message, the message that he preaches, the foundation of it, what matters most, the one thing he wants everyone to know and understand so they can put their trust in what God has done in that moment, is that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we have that in all that. The main thing especially is that we see not that Jesus just died, not that he was buried, but that he lives. He was raised from the dead. And in that, because of that, we know he was seen and that he is living now, and that something changes in that moment. And we take that on when we take on the name Christian. When we say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When we say that, this is at the core of what we're saying. We're not just saying, oh, he was a good man. You know, he taught some good things. We're saying, in this moment, everything else that he did, whether all the miracles, what mattered most was that he died on that cross, that he was buried, and that he lives. He was raised from the dead. And when we look at that, we say, we can't imagine anybody saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe that Jesus lives. It's like, how? Now, he's going to lay that out for us when we get to, and starting verse 12 on down, he's going to say, hey, now I want you to pay attention. If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? You go like, wait a minute. Why would we think that? Why would we get to that point? And we have to realize that people, what people do with things, how we get off track and we forget what matters most, because he says, look, Jesus lives. And they're going along and say, yeah, well, Jesus lives. But, you know, the rest of us, we won't. So how do you believe that? It wouldn't make sense to any of us, and it wouldn't make sense to me. You believe that? Verse 29, he says, if there is no resurrection, what will those who do who are baptized for the dead? And if the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? Now, that could be a whole other conversation. I don't want to get distracted with that. But he says, you believe there's no resurrection. Why in the world are you doing this? Verse 34, come back to your senses as you ought to stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame. They've gotten off track and forgotten what really matters. And he says, in all of this, we have to keep in mind, if there's no resurrection, if Christ was not raised, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then you can't play it and say, well, it worked for him and not for anybody else. It's possible for Jesus, but not for the rest of us. Says it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. It says if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. Because there's no exception in that way. And if Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. Why are we here if Christ hasn't been raised? Because that is our hope. I'm not doing every verse in 13 to 19, so y'all catch that if you read the text. It says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. It says, this is not just something, well, Christ is, but not everything. It says, no, this is, everything comes together. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If this is all that it is, that we don't talk about anything else, that we're just saying, I just want to be a good person. That's what matters most. He said, this is something that is all together and can't be separated out. You can't take one and discard the other. Everything is together all in one piece. Because in all of that, if we don't have the resurrection, if Christ hasn't been raised, there's no hope for any of us. We might as well go home. and find something comfortable to do. But, he says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Christ has been raised from the dead. And because of that, he says, now look, he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, which means that for us, Christ living now, Christ being raised, makes a difference for how we look at everything else in our life, how we look at death, how we approach everything that goes on, because it all comes together. The truth is, Christ lives and it changes us. So now we might go, well, we believe that already, so why do we worry about any of that? But it changes us. It needs to change us, because it's not just a matter of what we say. It also is what we do. And there's where we have to really pay attention. Because we can say all the right things. Yes, I believe that Jesus is Christ. I believed he died, he was buried, and he was raised. He says, you can say that. But is it seen in how you live? So Paul, there in verse 32, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? Why put my life on the line if there's... I don't want to put my life on the line if this is it. Since if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Y'all hear the connection? If I don't believe that we have any hope of a resurrection, then what are we doing with today? Just live. Do whatever you want to do, because it doesn't matter. He says, we can't do that. We've got to live it. It changes us. If we believe that there is a resurrection, that Christ was raised, then we have to believe that we're going to be raised. And if we believe that, that means whatever we do in this life matters. And it'll make a difference in us. And so when we do all that, it's not just a day that we can talk about one day, is that this is going to be. It's something that we live out today. You know, the challenge in all this and how we live it is that, and the picture of, I mean, how many of us have already died? Oh, I guess none of us, have we? We don't know what it's going to be like. Not a one of us. I mean, we may have been with somebody when they took their last breath. We may have all lost people we've loved. And we talk about the hope that we have for them. We talk about, you know, they're not hurting anymore. And we're grateful for that. We talk about what they're doing now. But I stand on this side of that. So it's hard to picture, what does that mean for us to take that last breath? What's going to be different? How does this all work? And that's the question. They said, so how are the dead raised? How does that even happen? You wrestle with all that. And he begins to tell and say, you know, look, we know how, for those who are planting gardens, we know how that works. We put a seed in the ground, and we know what's going to come out of that seed. You put in this kind of seed, you get this kind of plant. You put in this other kind of seed, you get this kind of plant. And you lay it all out. You look around, and all the things that are created, we know they're all different. The earth is different than the moon. The stars are different than all of them. You know, we get every aspect of things. We see how there is difference among us. And the result of what is different. So he says, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. That when we talk about the resurrection, we're not talking about, we look at these and go, oh, it won't be better if. It's not just going to be better. It's going to be better. Does that make sense? There's no comparison, he says. From what we have now in these bodies, the life that we live now is in no way can compare to what will be, because when Christ comes and we are raised, we are going to be amazed about what is. Our body is not the same as what it's going to be. And I am thankful for that. Because what God has done for us is going to be dramatically different. And so because I know what's coming, because even though I haven't been there yet, I know the one who's made that promise. I know what's coming, and now I don't have to fear that day. If today was the last one I woke up on this earth, it's okay. If I've got to plod along for another 20 or 30 or 40 years, it's okay. Because I don't have to fear what might happen. Because I know God is faithful and He walks with us. I'm not going to ignore that day. I'm not going to be afraid of it. I'm not going to look past it. I'm not going to get all focused on it. I just know God is faithful. And one day, I didn't read all of what I was going to give you. Oh, no, this is what it was. He tells us. Let me tell you. Let me give you a mystery, he says. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He lives, that last day, that last moment, is victory. It is going to be so good because of what Jesus has done for us. But it's going to change today as well. And he says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not vain. Bring it all, after all of that, talking about what we know, what happened with Jesus, what we know about what goes on with us and what's waiting for us one day, he says, because you know what will be today, stand. Live what you know is true. We are changed in it within. We are changed in the way that we live. And because of that, we're going to hold on to Jesus. Our attitudes change and what we do every day. When I put my notes, I think I know how I'm going to do, but that's not going to always work. The thing is, when Cambry moves, it's going to be some very mixed emotions. If y'all can't read what Pooh is, or I wonder if this is Pooh that says it. It says, how lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye still hard. And I guarantee you, on our drive back from College Station that week, I will cry. But we will celebrate that on the week of her 5th birthday, she will have a mom and dad who love her and are excited for her. I know that day's coming, but you know what I'm going to do today? Well, besides chase her all over the fellowship hall in a bit, what I'm going to do today is love her. One day, we leave this world. And we may have mixed emotions about it. I don't like goodbyes. Everyone we miss. But knowing that one day I will take my last breath. One day. I will be raised, and it will be so good. But today, we live. We live to glorify God. We live to encourage each other and remind each other it's going to be so good. But today, this is where we are. And maybe today you need prayers to help you in all of this, whether it's the burden of feeling mortality, the grief of losing somebody, or whether it's the day that you know I'm ready to put on Christ in baptism, to be able to live with Him. But if you need to come, would you come as we stand and sing?
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west, runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. If words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our heart and hear our spirit sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, Lord, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts and hear our spirits sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. Sing our closing song. I am a sheep and the Lord's a shepherd, watching over my soul. My soul to keep guarding over me ever, watching wherever I go. And when the winds blow, He is my shelter. When I'm lost and alone, He rescues me. When the lion comes, He is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. We are His children, watching over our soul. Great is His love for His sons and His daughters, watching wherever we go. When the winds blow, He is my shelter. When I'm lost and alone, He rescues me. When the lion comes, He is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching
over me. A reminder of our meal we're about to have. If you didn't bring anything, that's fine. We got lots of food. I've never seen us run out. Stay. If you're a visitor, we would be thrilled to have you with us. But the ideal is let's get in that room together, eat together, fellowship with one another. Let us pray. Father, we praise and we glorify you here on earth as you are in heaven. We're so thankful for Jesus, your Son, our Lord and Savior, the head of this church. We're so thankful for the hope that we have in Him. We're so thankful for the many blessings we have as we go through our daily lives and look forward to that time that we get to spend eternity with You in heaven. But as we go through our daily lives, let us always stay into Your Word so we can grow in our faith and in our love, and not just for You, but for each other. And as we walk along, may we always take the opportunity to be with one another as brothers and sisters, to encourage each other, to be encouraged, to grow in our faith and also in our love. We ask a special prayer for Amber as she is departing and going to prepare for her surgery. We pray that You'll strengthen her and to be with her surgeons, that the surgery will be successful and that she'll be able to return home pain-free. We pray that You'll be with Glenda as she deals with some illnesses. We pray that You'll also strengthen her and guide the doctor so that she may be healed. And Lord, there are many others that need Your help, whether it be with health or faith issues. We pray that You'll be with each one of them. You know who they are. We pray that You will strengthen them and to help them through these times. We pray that as we prepare to get together to fellowship with one another, that we look forward to this. And we ask that You bless this food, bless those who prepared it. We're so thankful for the opportunity we have to, like this, to get together. And we pray that we'll also stick around for the devotional afterwards so that we can continue our worship of You as well as fellowship. We pray that You'll be with us as we dismiss. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.